This is the sermon preached at St. Mary's, Enville, on Sunday the 9th of February 2025, the fourth Sunday before Lent. It was preached by the Reverend Rich Clarkson. A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they'd done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they'd taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you'll be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. I remember once reading an interview with a book critic. I can't remember who it was, though I think they may have been judging the Booker Prize or something like that. But I remember them talking about how they look at the characters in a story. They said that they look at a character at the beginning and then at the end, and if they've not changed, then they don't rate the book very highly. If the events in the book aren't able to change the characters in the story, then they probably won't be able to change the reader either. Because in real life, we're all changed by our experiences, for good or for bad. The things we go through, the people we know and love and lose and meet, they all change us. Life changes. It was Mark Twain who said, "When I was 14, my father was so ignorant I could barely stand to be around him. When I was 21, I was amazed at how much he'd learned in just 7 years." We are changed by our experiences, for good or for bad. Our gospel readings this morning is part of a pair of parallel readings in the gospels. The same event happens at the beginning and at the end of the disciples' journey with Jesus. And we can see from these two stories how the disciples have been changed by those experiences. The version of the story that we've heard today comes from early in Luke's gospel, and it tells of how Jesus called the first disciples. They're out fishing on the Sea of Galilee, but they haven't caught anything. Jesus tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and they haul in a catch so big that it nearly sinks the boat. This fills the disciples with awe and fear, and they fall to their knees in the presence of this man who can do such amazing things. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," is Peter's response. But Jesus tells them not to be afraid, and he asks them to follow him. And this begins their three-year-long journey together, which eventually leads to the events of the first Easter, Jesus' arrest, execution, and resurrection. And it's shortly after that momentous week that we find the second seaside encounter with Jesus, at the end of John's Gospel. Again, the disciples are out fishing on the Sea of Galilee. Again, they haven't caught anything. Again, Jesus calls to them and tells them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat. Again, they haul in a catch so big that it nearly sinks the boat. So far, much the same story. But what is different in this second encounter is that the disciples themselves have changed. They have 3 long years of experience with Jesus, of learning from him, journeying with him, of sharing in his work. And so this time, instead of responding to Jesus' amazing miracle with fear, they respond with joy. Peter literally leaps out of the boat and jumps into the water to get to Jesus as quickly as he possibly can. Instead of Peter saying, "Get away from me, I'm a sinful man," this time it's John who speaks, simply saying joyfully, "It is the Lord." These disciples have changed. And when Jesus asks them in the second story to follow me, it's exactly the same question he'd asked all those years before. And in some ways, it's exactly the same answer. I will follow. Jesus is asking them again to follow him. But whereas in the first encounter, they didn't really know what that meant, they were perhaps just caught up in the excitement of it all, this second time, they know exactly what it means. They're no longer simply stepping out in faith. They have 3 years of experience, of teaching, of miracles and heartbreak, of promises made, and more importantly, of promises kept. And so that question, indeed that command, follow me, bears a whole different weight of meaning for them now because of all that they've been through with Jesus. They have changed. They have been changed. And although the words of their answer may be the same, the meaning is so much deeper. I will follow you, Jesus. And that question, that command, comes to each one of us too. For some, we may be hearing it, like the disciples on the beach in that first story, for perhaps the first time. For others, we may have been responding to that call again and again for many years. For some of us, to answer, "Yes, I will follow," might be a leap of faith, an uncertain step in the dark. For others, it might carry with it a confidence rooted in the promises that we've seen God keep over the years. Wherever you are on that journey, the question is the same. Jesus is asking, will you follow me? Will you join me on the journey? Will you let me walk alongside you, guiding your steps, talking and laughing and learning together along the way? And there's always going to be an element of uncertainty in our response, because we never quite know what situations God is calling us into. Perhaps life is changing around us. Family life may be changing. We may have to care for a family member or be cared for by others. Perhaps our working life is changing. Or maybe there are new opportunities to serve in the community. Or maybe we're in a stage of life where we're having to start letting things go, laying things down. Maybe the changes are good, exciting even. Or maybe they're hard and filled with sorrow or regret. But whatever we face, whatever situations God is calling us to follow him into, we know that we go with a God who keeps his promises, who always keeps his promises. And so today, Jesus is asking each and every one of you to answer that same question that he asked on that beach all those years ago. Will you follow me? I wonder what your response would be to that question today.